talk with my doctor the other day. Didn't understand half of what he said. Who knows what I could have? I could be having a baby. I have no idea. Love the Spirit in this church. Amen? Amen. All right. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And the title of my message is Rest. Question for you. How good your sleep been over the last year and a half? Everybody been getting good sleep? Anybody had any weird dreams and you woke up and thought, now what was that about? Right? Alani has, yeah. Mom could probably answer those for you. All right, Hebrews chapter 3. Stand with me if you would for the reading of God's word. We're going to read verses 7 through 13. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, it tells us he's speaking. Today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved, I was angry with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Father, as we look at your word, at this warning, Father, that we would have open hearts, Father, that we would not have hard hearts, but tender hearts. We pray, Father, that we'd have listening ears. Father, have your way with us, we pray. Continue the work you started in us to make us more and more like our precious Savior, and we'll thank and praise you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I asked how your rest has been lately. It seems like it's been a strange year and a half, hasn't it? The elections were a little funky, weren't they? The economy. Filled my truck up the other day, and it cost me $15 more than it did a year and a half ago. Must be a coincidence. Health issues. You've seen our prayer requests. A lot of people struggling in the church. They covet your prayers greatly. Health scares. A lot of people worried about what their health issues might be, but they don't know yet. I had a talk with my doctor the other day. Didn't understand half of what he said. Who knows what I could have? You take an accent, add a mask, and somebody that's hard of hearing, and I'm just looking. I could be having a baby. I have no idea. Government concerns. Can we trust anything we hear? Anything at all? I heard a funny thing on the radio the other day. I thought it was kind of funny. Because, you know, everything's bad for you. And then next week, they did a study, and it's good for you. Eggs are bad. They're good. They're bad. They're good. They said, you know, eating too much tofu can be bad for you. I thought, no problem there. I was just praising the Lord it wasn't bacon. In Hebrews chapter 3, we have a warning. And it's a very serious warning. And you'll notice in verse 7, God is speaking, folks. If we're not hearing him, whose side of the equation is the issue on? And the warning starts out, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, there's some urgency in here, isn't there? Today, if you will hear his voice. I see here a warning of danger. It isn't a warning so much, I think, about trouble. We all know trouble comes, doesn't it? We've all been through some troubles. Some of us are in some troubles now. If we're not, we know that eventually they're coming. They could be small, they could be great, but this warning is not so much about trouble. Trouble is expected. You see that in the tenure here of this, in the whole idea behind this. It's about where our hearts are when the trouble comes. You know, some of us are very good in our prayer life when trouble is here. Amen? Ever been guilty of that? I have. Seems like I got all kinds of time to pray when I'm up against it. You know, I'll be honest with you. When I get a call Thursday and Stan says, you're up Sunday, I start praying more. I do. I want to look at three things here. A believer's response to trouble. We have choices. We have choices. This great passage of Scripture here. Then I want to look at a believer's faith in trouble. And last, I want to look at a believer's exhortation in trouble. First of all, a believer's response to trouble. Christians have a choice, don't we, when trouble comes? I don't know about you, but when trouble comes to me, I have this pattern I work through. First of it's a little bit of panic. Can anybody be honest and say you're there with me? Right? And then at some point, how we feel and what we know collide. And if we're living right, what we know about our God calms everything else. There's a leveling off. But we have a choice. If we've asked Christ into our hearts, then His Holy Spirit resides there. When trouble comes, we know God is speaking. Today, if ye will hear His voice. God speaks to us in many different ways. We have His Spirit inside of us. We have His completed Word. It is amazing to me how many times, and I can be guilty of this, me or somebody else will say they're really struggling with something, and you ask, well, are you searching God's Word? And you get the big eyes like, gee, I hadn't thought of that. You know, that's where we should go first. Wise counsel, spiritual songs. Have you ever been going down the road, grieving about something, and a song comes on that just steadies you and thrills your soul? Past experience. How good are we at looking back at everything that God has done with us in the past? And it's interesting to me. God has a lot of ways to encourage us to hold fast, to trust Him. This isn't the first trouble we've ever been in. It won't be the last. Trust Him. But the example He gives us here in Hebrews, there's no better commentary on the Bible than the Bible. And the example He gives us is of God's people crying down in Egypt, crying out to God to deliver them. And Moses gets that group of people, and he leads them out into the wilderness. And it's a great example. And you look at what God says about him, and you scratch your head some. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. I'm thinking a lot of those works on those 40 years they didn't want to see. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, God said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. I don't know about you, but that puzzles me. Stop and think about it. They had God's presence with them. They could see the cloud and the fire. They had God's man leading them. Didn't God prove and affirm Moses as their leader? Sure He did. They had God's promised land ahead of them. Remember, they had cried out to be gone from where they were. And they had all that God did behind them. That's not a small accumulation of things. When you think about the plagues, that had to get somebody's attention. The Passover, the first Passover. What about when the world's largest army got swallowed up by the Red Sea? They saw all of this, and yet God records here, they do always err in their heart, verse 10, and they have not known my ways. Well, you know, folks, that's a warning to us. That tells me something. That tells me that we can go to church. We can have the Holy Spirit of God residing in us. We can have a copy of God's completed Word. We can see the things that God does for us in the past and yet have an erring heart and not spiritually benefit from all of those things that God has done for us. Should that be a little scary? I think it should. Results. God says they had hardened their hearts. And again, we ask, how can that be? But God gives the answer on how that can be. Look at verse 10. He said, I was grieved with that generation. Why? They do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. An erring heart. I looked that up, and I really studied that for a while. It's a wandering, forsaking heart. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. It is a heart that leads to relaxed morality. And relaxed morality leads to errors in doctrine, and errors in doctrine lead to relaxed morality. What was happening? There was how they felt about things and how they were thinking about things, and that was bumping up against what God said and what God promised. And what was winning out? That's right, how they felt and how they thought. Moses is gone, they're building a golden calf. They don't have any food, they don't like the manna, they don't like the water, they miss the garlic and the leeks. Garlic and leeks, really? That topped your list? Bottom line, they trusted in their own wisdom instead of God's word. Their own wisdom instead of God's word. Ever been guilty of that? I've talked with people that say, I know God's word says X, but... Okay, shouldn't any of us realize if God says something, there should never be a but? Colossians 2, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. By the way, there's a men's study Wednesday night. I forgot to announce that. We're in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Write this down. It says that wisdom and full assurance, a full understanding are found in God's word. And then it goes on to say that wisdom is a person. Wisdom is Jesus Christ. Jesus described himself also as truth. I am the truth. Truth is a person, Jesus Christ. If you're getting your wisdom and truth someplace other than Jesus Christ, it isn't wisdom and it isn't true. When we apply our own way of thinking apart from Christ, then we have an erring heart. God's word says an erring heart leads to a hardened heart. Verse 8. You'll notice down in verse 10, God tells us how they got to verse 8. Their heart was always erring. It was always wandering. And that led to their hardened heart in verse 8. A hardened heart is a stubborn heart. It's a heart that chooses a path that is dry and hard. Ever been guilty of choosing a path that was dry and hard for yourself, and then you come to your senses? Prodigal son would be a great example of that. There's a problem, Christian. We were made as image bearers to follow and worship Jesus Christ. And when we set out on our own, we are choosing a hard path. It is the hard heart that chooses a rougher road that he doesn't need to choose, that she doesn't need to choose. And then God shows his response there in verse 10. He showed his response then, and he shows his response still now. He was grieved. That word grieved means that it angered God. If you do not understand God's anger, it has been said that you do not understand God's love. Because God's love drives God's anger. Okay? It used to be, they say that a lot of times we take the attributes of our earthly father and we place them on God. And I was very much guilty of that. And when I heard that and I stopped and thought of it, it was one of those light bulb moments. Because my earthly father was very right and wrong and was, you know, when I got out of line, I knew it. And those were the attributes that I placed on God. And I never stopped to give it a thought that it was God's love that drives God's anger and discipline. Why was God grieved? Because a hardened heart chooses a road of sorrow that is harder on the person that God loves than what it needs to be. God says later on, because they did that, I would not let them enter into my rest. What's he talking about, my rest? When they got to Canaan, would they not need to harvest crops? Were they going to harvest themselves? Were they still going to have stalls to muck out? Did they still have jobs? Absolutely. But don't miss this, Christian. That road that God chose for them was going to be easier than they had it down in Egypt. If they would have not had an erring and hard heart, God had a path for them that had less trials, less sorrow. Who here wants a path of less trials and less sorrow? Yeah? We know life is going to be hard, isn't it? There are going to be hard times in life. But Jesus said, my joy I leave unto you. My peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Anybody ever had peace in the midst of a trial, even though the trial stunk? Have you? There ought to be more testifying than that. Have you? Yeah. He said he left us a joy that the world cannot take away. Now listen, I think some of you lost that last election. Be honest, did we struggle in our joy a little bit? Yeah, I know I did. My happiness too. But anyway, a hard heart will lead us down a path that causes more sorrow and more heartache than we have to have. Okay? I'm not naming it and claiming it. I'm not saying if you draw close to God, you'll never have a problem. I'm just saying your problems in life will be easier when He's walking by your side. God's response was anger. Hadn't God earned their trust? Stop and think about that. The world's latest, greatest army at that time, they were the most modern army, Egypt, and they were one of the biggest armies. And they got swallowed up in the Red Sea like that. Hadn't God earned their trust? You can talk to me. You'll get home on time for dinner if you talk to me. Had God earned their trust?
Yes.
Yeah. Question, has God earned your trust? Yeah, He has. But can we be just as guilty sometimes when trials and trouble comes and all of a sudden there's our wisdom, our way of thinking, and then there's God's? And that struggle begins, doesn't it? Yeah. In God's wrath and anger, He said, I'm going to deny them rest, not to punish them, but to hopefully they would get their belly full and come back to Him. He still does that today. God's not going to give us peace in our own wisdom, in our own thinking. He's not. And it wouldn't be loving for Him to do so, and He knows that. Troubles and trials are necessary. They drive us back to God. I see God working in my troubles and my trials, don't I? How many times have you ever seen God working on the mountaintop? We talked about this in Sunday school. When life's going good, I'm not looking for God's hand in my life. When life's going bad, that's all I'm looking for. And I think that's somewhat human nature. Troubles and trials are necessary. How we think and feel versus what God says, what we know of God's word, that's where the choice has to be made. That's where we demonstrate either an erring heart or a heart that's close to Him, a believer's response to trouble. How we feel and think versus what we know according to God's word. Which path will you choose? A believer's faith in times of trouble. Notice verse 12. There's two little words that start verse 12 that we could skip right over if we didn't take time to study. Take heed. Take heed. Who is the onus on for this? Us. Take heed. You know, oftentimes when I'm talking to people, I notice that they do some of the same things I do. I like to control situations. Can anybody relate to that? Okay, question for you. Do we really control anything? It's a myth, isn't it? There's one thing you can control. One thing. That's why these two words are here. Take heed. There's one thing you can control. And that's how much effort you put in to knowing and staying close to your God. That is the only thing you can control. Husbands, can you control your wives? Ladies, can you control your husbands? I think some of you might be fibbing a little. Can you control your children? We can't control the elections. We can't control the economy. What can we control? The one thing we can control is the most important thing to control in our life. The effort we put into our relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Although they saw God's ways, although they benefited from God's ways, God said they did not know His ways. How can that be? Spiritually, they were not benefiting from what God was doing in his life. You ever been guilty of that? I've looked back at times when I was wandering from the Lord, and looking back, I saw all of the things that he was doing for me. At that moment, I was not benefiting from them. Why? I had a hard heart. Hard heart. Our effort and our relationship with God is everything. Take heed, he says, brethren, control the one thing that you can control. Okay, be careful. Effort to stay close to God. Why? And he goes on, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. He's laying it right out for us. It starts with an erring heart. Let's talk about an erring heart for a few minutes. What is an erring heart? A passage of scripture comes up. It is the little foxes that spoil what? Yeah. Christian, it is the little things in your life that come between you and your Savior. And the sad part is we know what those little things are. Maybe it's what you watch. Oh, well, this isn't really a godly show, but it's not that bad. Maybe it's the things you hear. Maybe it's the things you do, you take part in. You fill in the blank. The Holy Spirit is speaking if you're listening, and you already know the little things that you overlook. Little sins, we call them. There's a book out, Acceptable Sins. Great read. Not a great read if you want to feel happy. Great read if you want to feel convicted. You know, as Christians, there's all kinds of little sins that we just mull over. Is there really a little sin? If sin sent our Savior to the cross, is there really a little sin? An erring heart starts overlooking things. And then if we're not hearing his voice, what's it say? Whereas the Holy Ghost is saying today, if you will hear his voice, they were not hearing his voice. Why? Little sins were coming between them and their God. You ever been up against it and you're praying and you're thinking God isn't hearing you? Maybe it's those little foxes, those little sins that are getting between us and God. Maybe Jesus is just behind those little sins we keep accepting, overlooking, making excuses for. I mean, after all, we don't want to get carried away with our faith, do we? We don't want to be holy or anything, right? That's for weird people, right? Some of you are laughing because you know exactly what I mean, don't you? It is the little foxes. It is the little sins. It is the ones that we keep making excuses for. They had God's provision. They had God's promises. They had God's past evidence of his faithfulness, and yet their hard hearts led to hearts of unbelief, evil hearts of unbelief, and they departed from the word of God. Stay close to God. Effort to do so, and you will not be disappointed. Get rid of the little sins that estrange you from Christ, that estrange you from your prayers being answered. God said they always had an erring heart. They always had excuses on why they were not closer. And then their erring heart became a hard heart. A believer's response to trouble, we have choices. We can trust how we feel, how we think, our own wisdom, or we can trust in God's word. A believer's faith in trouble. All we can control is our effort to stay close to God and get the little sins, the little foxes out of our lives. And last, a believer's exhortation in trouble. This one's interesting to me. Look at verse 13. But exhort one another when? Why do you suppose it says that? Why does it say daily? How often does temptation come? How often do trials come? Pretty much seems like it, doesn't it? Daily. Interesting. We need to encourage one another daily because trouble, sin, temptations, they come daily. Life can be hard. Life can be deceitful. Notice that it also talks about the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. It's tricky. It's sneaky. We need each other. If you don't have a good friend in Christ that can be frank with you, that's not good. I've got several in this church that have been frank with me at times, and when they were frank with me, sometimes I don't think I liked it. Right, Pete? Pete's laughing. Pete said things to me that I didn't like, but you know what? I'd go home, think on it, you know what? They were right. We need exhortation daily. You know, this last year and a half, people said we didn't need to get together. Didn't they? Some Christians said they did just as well at home on their own. Must have been rough in church on the couch. Some people can't get together. I get that. But the ones that can't get together, you know what they're missing and what they say they miss? Getting together. They miss you. There's buzzwords in church speak. The latest one the last couple of years has been community. And they talk about our church family as a community. I know I'm probably old-fashioned. I don't like that word. I like the fact that we have a community. We need to be a witness in the community. We need to be a blessing to our community. We need to be involved in our community. This is a family. Don't tell me you don't relate different to community than you do family. Family tells you something you don't want to hear so that you can get your heart straight because you needed to hear it. There's a lot behind exhortation. It's encouragement. There's a lot of people here that need to be encouraged. And how often do they need it? How hard is it to go out of our ways to encourage somebody? Exhortation is a lifting up. It's an encouragement. Sometimes it's a confrontation. Who all of you like confrontations, right? I know I don't like them. But when I'm confronted with something, I have to check myself. What didn't I like about that? Usually it's my pride and not the content of what I was confronted about. Amen? God always humbles me before he teaches me anything. I don't know, maybe you're different. God's word says different. It says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It says we need each other. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we need the encouragement that we get from each other. We need the contact, the handshake, the hug. We need the confrontation at times. We need those things. And I'll tell you, life is a lot easier with us together than it is when we're not together. When we're together and pulling for each other, boy, I'll tell you what, that makes you get up another day and face another day. The effect of staying close to God and encouraging one another, you can't deny. Christian, drive out the little foxes in your life. Get rid of the garbage you're watching or listening to or participating in and stop making excuses. Because I'll tell you what, when trouble comes, if you think all of a sudden you're going to develop a close walk with Jesus Christ when trouble comes, how interested is he in that? Nobody's answering. A couple are chuckling. Make sure your heart stays close to Christ. I was told on Thursday I had a message. I don't keep a message. It's probably wrong of me. I probably should have a message. I've always struggled with keeping a message because I wanted God to give me something that I should give then, now, instead of me grabbing something out of the past. Today's message spoke to me, and that's why I'm speaking it to you. It is so easy to overlook the little foxes, but what are they doing? They're causing our hearts to wander. They're causing our hearts to stray. And you know, the example he gave, listen, they were in the congregation. They were hearing the preaching and teaching of God's word. On the outward appearances, they were faithful. Is it possible to be faithful to God's house, to come to church, carry your Bible? You look like everything's great on the outside. But are there little foxes? Today, if you will listen, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about your little foxes you need to get rid of. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'll tell you what, you're missing out on a relationship that will change your life forever. Would love to talk to you about that. It's as simple as recognizing your sin and asking God to forgive you for your sin, recognizing that he sent his only begotten Son to stoop, to condescend to us, to die on a cross for our sin. The perfect, sinless one, dying for my sin, still blows my mind. We're going to have an altar call and you can come. If you don't know Christ, I'd love to talk to you. If you do and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about those little foxes, I know you can take care of this in your pew, but I'll tell you what, it'd probably stick with you a lot longer and show God you mean a lot more business if you did it at the altar. Just saying. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this last year and a half. It has been a threshing floor experience. It has really made us stop and think about you and what's important in life. Father, as we examine our hearts, we just ask you, Lord, that our hearts would be plowed up, that they'd be tender, that your spirit would be speaking, and that our ears would be listening. Father, we pray this morning, don't let us be hearers only of your word, but let us be found doing your word. And Father, most of all, help us to get rid of the little foxes that come between us and our Savior, us and our prayer life, us and answered prayers. We thank you so much for your great love to us, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that that work that you started, you are faithful and just to complete. And someday my image is going to be more and more and more like my Savior. Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.